relationship, we again today recognize that God has gifted the conference with much diversity. And this diversity will most likely increase in the coming years. We are diverse in geography, ethnicity, language, economics, education, life experiences, theological perspectives, and generationally. And yet our Anabaptist commitment to reconciliation and community invites us to stay united in the midst of the diversity. We believe that our witness to the love and gospel of Christ is strengthened when we put energy into celebrating our shared convictions. So we, again, today commit ourselves to live openly and with integrity as brothers and sisters. Several desired outcomes for today is to identify areas for mutual support and engagement, to grow in our understanding of one another as people of mission and ministry, to share ideas of how we can strengthen and develop relationships that allow us to become more collaborative, and to create opportunities to hear one another for open and generative conversation. We recognize that there's another pressing issue on many of your minds, that of homosexuality and the current tensions in the Mennonite Church. We will spend significant time today in prayer and worship together, surrendering to God, to the power of God's Spirit, honoring the wisdom, love, and peace of our Creator. We will spend time in prayer and worship in response to Urban Schutzman's call to pray for those in leadership, pray for churches, and pray for our conference regarding the news announcements from Eastern Mennonite University and the Mountain States Mennonite Conference Board, and the whole larger conversation about homosexuality. We believe that the correct response is to pray and worship. Again, our hope today is to continue a conversation that was started at Conference Assembly by delegates on shared values, ministry, and vision for 2014 and beyond. And the Conference Board has discerned that although this conversation may appear as if leadership is avoiding the issue, we are in fact being asked to lay a foundation for healthy, loving conversation. We are being asked to allow God's Spirit to create a holy ground space, an agree and disagree in love space, where we can meet with God, where we can meet with each other, and together do God's will. There's two questions that we will have time to discuss around your table after the worship time that you can start thinking about now. Number one, what do you hope to get out of this session, this time together? And second, what do you hope to offer to your table group and to the larger church? Brothers and sisters, let's continue to worship the Lord together this morning.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Let us thank God for the opportunities that this day holds, opportunities to love God, love ourselves and each other, and love those around us. I extend a warm welcome to you for this time of worship. As Marta said, this time of worship is going to heed carefully Urban Schutzman's call to prayer, so we're going to spend most of our time dwelling on scripture and in prayer during this worship time. We will begin by dwelling on Psalm 23, and that will be read in
There's a copy of the song on the table. After we read the song, there will be a time of quiet for you to reflect, to read the scripture, to pray, and there will be pictures up on the screen if you would like to look at those while you reflect on the scripture. After dwelling on the scripture, we will be led in a guided prayer, and during that prayer, there will be periods of silence. During the time of silence, you are invited to pray for the people or the themes named. You can pray quietly, or you can pray together out loud at your tables. We gather together today as beloved disciples of Christ. At Conference Assembly 2011, we created this Unity Camp. Does anybody remember doing it? The different colored wax crystals represent different parts of Franklinian Conference. They represent congregations, CRMs, credentialed leaders, delegates, and our ministries together. This candle represents who we are and our collective ministries as the body of Christ. As we combined the wax crystals together a couple years ago, this was our prayer. May our lives and ministries join together as many individual parts of one whole, a diverse body joined through Christ's love. As Jesus' disciples in 2014, we remember Jesus' words to his first disciples. Lo, I am with you always, even until the end. These three candles in front of our Unity Candle represent God with us, God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit as we worship together. Samantha is going to lead us in a song which you'll find on the yellow sheets in your table. It's called Dios está aquí. God is with us. While we sing, three members of our choir will come forward and bring the lights of the Trinity to your tables. To remind us that God is present with us as we meet and talk to him.
Salmo 23 en español es: el Señor es el pastor, nada me faltará. En lugar de verdes pastos me hace descansar, junto a aguas de reposo me conduce. Él restaura mi alma, me guía por senderos de justicia, por amor a su nombre. Aunque pase por el valle de sombra y de muerte, no temeré mal alguno, porque tú estás conmigo. Tu vara y tu callado me incluyen aliento. Tú preparas mesa delante de mí, en presencia de mis enemigos. Has unido mi cabeza con aceite, mi copa está rebosando. Ciertamente el bien y la misericordia me seguirán todos los días de mi vida, y en la casa del Señor moraré largos días.
He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life.
Spaces of silence where you may offer your prayers silently or around the tables to speak a phrase or a word or a sentence that's related to each section of your prayer. Holy God, you make all things good, and praise belongs to you. We praise you for your power, and for your patient gentleness of all you have made. You are our shepherd. We have all we need. Make us quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. We pray for ourselves and those closest to us.
Holy Spirit of truth and grace, you lead us in right paths for your name's sake. Give us ears to hear and feet to follow, with hearts and minds supple enough to move as you move. We pray for our congregations and our leaderships and our relationships within them, especially among those who lead formally and informally in each local body.
When we walk through the darkest valley, we fear no evil, for you alone are with us. We pray for each person serving on our conference board, for each staff person, for each pastor and elder today, for each disciple of Jesus in our circles of mutual love.
Lord Jesus Christ, you are our leader, and in your love we are secure. We pray for men like Church USA, our executive board and staff, especially for Urban System and Elizabeth Sokol.
Within our relationships.
You pursue us with force and compassionate, loyal love. We pray for men of Church Canada, for the men of the churches of Latin America, for Mennonite World Conference, and for all of your church in its varied forms in all parts of the world.
Christ Jesus, provocative and tender, we put our trust in you. We are amazed that you dwell in us. Root us, ground us in your love, that we might know the height and depth and breadth. And your love, O Christ, which is beyond knowledge, that we might see your power at work in us beyond our imagining. Glory to you, Trinity of love. Show your glory in your church and in all the earth. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you.
Let's remain standing. My shepherd to supply my need.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you. Want to thank you personally, all of you, for coming out on a Saturday morning. And what we're going to do, because I was informed that we are quote well behind, is have us take a look at our desired outcomes for today. Because as we had conversation around our table, there were some folk who readily admitted that they were confused. So that's okay, because that means that at least we'll be a little less confused by break time. And then by the time we get back from break, we'll be more confused, because we'll have a chance to talk about how confused we were before the break. Okay, so what I'd like you to do is take a look at what the desired outcomes are. First, today is a day that, to say it quite simply, is to try to get to know each other, but we want to be able to, number one, identify areas for mutual support and engagement. Now, I'm going to do this in 6 minutes because we have our break coming up at 10:15. So, we believe as a conference, not as folks at on the Yoder Road side or people, you know, in conference leadership, but we believe as Franconia Conference, churches, and delegates that we need to be able to understand what's happening with our brothers and sisters in their congregations. We believe that we need to find out how we can work together and where we find areas of mutuality, you know? And so we said the only way to do that is to take some time and do it. So you're gonna have an opportunity to talk about areas where you can be supportive to each other. You might find out where someone's engaging in ministry and you're in a similar type ministry, or you want to find yourself getting into the ministry, and you can learn from them. But in all of this, we want to strengthen relationships. And so the second thing is we want to grow in our understanding of one another as people of mission and people of ministry. So what we want to do is, as we talk at our tables, as we exchange information, it helps us to understand, you know, what's happening at Spring Mount. What kind of mission, you know, are they involved in? How do they work in ministry? How is that connecting with other congregations throughout our conference? And so we don't know a lot about what's happening in mission or the task that some of us would be working at as it relates to spreading the gospel. We don't know, in many cases, how we're serving in ways that honor God and bring forth the gospel. And so we want to grow in knowing what's happening in ways that we can explain it to persons in our congregation, and that we can talk about and support and see if there's ways that we can come together and work together. The other thing is we want to share ideas about how we can strengthen and develop our relationships that allow us to become more collaborative. You know, relationship is really what it's about in many cases. And often, when you are working together, if you don't really know the person or group you're working with, if you don't have an understanding about who they are and what they think or feel, it can make it difficult to work with them. And so we want to share ideas about what can we do together to strengthen our relationship and become more collaborative. And let me tell you, geography does not need to be a barrier. Task fill and new beginnings, 4 or 5 conference assemblies ago, decided to strengthen their relationship and become collaborative. And, you know, Tassville is way up near, you know, Vermont. New Beginnings is in Bensalem. And so it's not a half-hour drive. But they began to fellowship together. They began to find projects where New Beginnings got themselves together and went up to Tassville and hung out with them for a weekend. And Tassville got themselves together and went to New Beginnings and hung out with them. And they began to, on both sides, understand new and different ways to minister, new and different ways to be church. And so we want to share ideas together about how can we do that. We don't want to just say, here's, you know, four magic steps, but make sure that it's coming from areas that we believe are sincerely things that we can commit to, because it is going to take a commitment for us to work through this. And so for today, we want to be able to share and develop relationships and help us think about how do we become more collaborative. The other thing is we like to talk. We like to sit around a table and have conversations. We like to know what's going on. We like to hear mission and ministry stories. One of the things we got from Conference Assembly was folks enjoyed the stories that they heard as other folks stood up front and told about what was happening in their congregation. We like to hear what's happening in each other's world, but we don't really take a lot of time to do that. So what we want to do today is just to create another opportunity to hear one another for open and generative conversation, to take us somewhere, not just to hear what's happening and leave the room and go on, you know, with business as usual, but to create an opportunity so that we can allow the Spirit to move in such a way that it grows something out of our being together. Some kind of connection, some kind of movement, and helps again to strengthen us to understand what it means, the people of God. Now, these are objectives for today. I actually should have added a line for the Holy Spirit to just, you know, bring something else to the table, but that's assumed that God has other outcomes that we haven't even thought about. So as we prepare to go for break, if you have questions about some of this information, about the outcomes, be prepared to ask, and we will try to answer them as best we can. But be praying as you are going through this day that God would continue to open up our hearts and minds in ways that allow us to truly become the John 17 people that Jesus prayed that we would become. Okay, so we have a break for until, okay, look at your watch. We have a 20-minute break. It's 10:35, so I don't know how your watch is set, but be back at 10:35.
Praise God's holy name, hallelujah.
Well, so how do we work at some of these objectives? What are some of the ideas that you have for going in a direction that will strengthen us as the people of God? Want you to take notice, I'm sure many of you have, of the information that came out of conference assembly, the SWOT analysis that was put together following, you know, your input of the conference board's description of our reality and their vision for our relationship. The afternoon session, or the time where you actually, before that, talked about where God was still at work. You should have gotten this information electronically. There are some copies on the table. And what's interesting is that, you know, in looking at the first two pieces I mentioned, there are actually 84 testimonies of God still at work within your congregations. And so you shared a lot about that. You shared 66 testimonies, an additional 66 testimonies of God at work beyond your congregation. So we're talking about in the community and beyond. And so, you know, it was really exciting for me to look at some of what was being shared. Getting back to the SWOT piece, again, you are able to let us know where you thought this this document needed work, where you thought it was helpful. It was interesting that some of the strengths that you recognized in the document would have included the diversity that it described, the theology and the shared convictions that it it also laid out. But those two pieces, in addition to the afternoon session where Pastor Marta and John led an open conversation in what God is calling us to be, excuse me, as a community of believers, you said in most cases that he is calling us to learn from one another. He's calling us to be together. He's calling us to share resources. And again, this is coming from what you feel the Spirit is saying to you, what you're experiencing as it relates to what is meaningful to be part of our conference. And so we want to give you some time at your tables to talk about some ideas about what you think we can do together to help to strengthen our relationships and understandings of who we are for ministry and mission. One of the things that we're thinking about as a to prompt us to think a bit about how we're working at this is there, at one point, we used to have cluster groups where congregations would get together and meet periodically. Well, we no longer do that by way of conference initiative. It is really up to a group of congregations to get together and share in groups. Well, what we want to do in 2014 as a way to help, again, prime this pump for getting to know each other is the lead ministers will be working at ways to cross connect their congregations in some formal gatherings. And what they will vary depending on what the congregations and the churches and the church leadership feel would be important. It will also give opportunities for CRMs, conference-related ministries, to join a particular group. So, for example, if two congregations within the cluster group feel that they are called to work at an area of outreach in the community, clothing for the needy, or some sort of evangelistic outreach or something, or some sort of community or social justice effort or something, then they would find themselves, hopefully, thinking of ways that they could do that kind of thing together. While they may not have done anything together in the past. Or if there's situations where, we talked about situations where sometimes congregations, will, one congregation will invite another congregation to come and be a part of a fellowship meal after the service, or to come and be part of a Bible study. I know Blooming Glen has an annual men's Bible study that I had the opportunity to attend for the first time. As I understand, it's been going on for 100 years, maybe? Long time, all right? But the thing that was impressive to me as I looked around the room, there were a lot of people in the room, other leaders from our conference that, you know, I would not have connected with in that setting. And so we had breakfast together. There was an excellent speaker. But we need to make sure that we're aware of the kinds of things that are happening where we can come together. So let me just back up so we can get you started. Our idea, as we think about it, as lead ministers and board, would be to re-implement this cluster group where groups of churches would get together and the lead ministers would work with the leadership of the churches and find ways to talk about how to engage and how to become more familiar with one another. There may be some other ideas that you can think of about how we can get to know each other, how we can find out what's happening. We just don't do well with our website information in terms of reading it. I'm not saying in terms of making it, you know, available, because it is out there. But we really need to look at ways that we can be talking to each other more direct. So here's your assignment. What are your ideas for working toward goals as you delegates identify the goals of getting to know one another, the goals of finding ways to collaborate, the goals of thinking of ways to connect for mission and ministry, the goals of just creating opportunity to become more community. What are some of the ideas that you have in order to do that? Now, let me say, we are prepared at the conference to cut back maybe on some of the meetings that we have corporately so that you can have more time to get together. So it's not adding more meetings to your schedule. We are prepared to make some adjustments. So you've got, at this point, about 40 minutes, actually, to have your table conversations. And again, you want to share your ideas about how you can strengthen relationships, build trust, come to know one another, know what's happening in ministry and mission, become more aware of how we can learn from one another as the people of God, not allowing any barriers to discourage you from being creative. So don't worry about language or geography or any of those things. Just think as the Spirit would have you be creative in coming to know one another. All right? So everyone got it? Hopefully you'll have someone at the table taking notes, and we'll get back and we'll report on the ideas that are coming from your table at a little later time. All right, so you have until, what time is that? 10:25? You have until 11:25, Souderton time.
Don't shoot the messenger. Mm-hmm. coming, please, Yum. The Church of Christ in every age, beset by change, but Spirit-led, must claim and test its heritage, and keep on rising from the dead. Alleluia. 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 Humming. Then let the servant church arise, a caring church that longs to be a partnering Christ's sacrifice and clothed in Christ's humanity. Alleluia. 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 We have no mission but to serve in full obedience to our Lord, to care for all without reserve, and spread his liberating word. Alleluia. 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 Alleluia.
Amen. So, you've done a lot of work. Right before we hear your feedback, Steve has a public service announcement he wants to make.
This is not a super serious announcement. So, this is one of those you've come to a meeting, you might get something free kind of things, but not all of you. So there are a limited number of copies of Becoming a Blessed Church, which if you were not a Franconia Conference pastor before 2006, you do not have this unless you bought it on your own. If you've been here since before 2006, thank you for your long-term service, but you already got one. So. Carla and I were cleaning out some cabinets and found a bunch of these copies. So they're over on the desk. You should take one if you'd like. There are actually a couple other books. One is MCC's, Mennonite Mission Network's position on a biblical study on immigration in Spanish. And then another book that I don't remember what it is. It's purple, and you can see that Carla's holding it up. If you like purple books with yellow print, you should get that one. So please take these and read them, or take them and use them as a witnessing tool if you'd like, to whatever you want to do with them. But they're over there, and you can just take them on your way out.
All right, so we're going to be getting some feedback from your tables, and Steve's going to be scribing here. There will be also...
No?
Steve's not going to be scribing? Okay. Steve will be scribing, and there's not going to be anything up here right now. So that means we'll have to just slow it down a bit. So what ideas do you want to share as a result of your conversations? What thoughts, what creative thinking? You have a spokesperson, I'm sure. Please make sure that you speak into the mic, or if you have a preacher's voice, you might better stay where you are. So, let me just start with this table, and then we'll move through. Let folks know who you are.
Hello, I'm Mark Durstein, pastor at Satterton Mennonite Homes. Sharing a bit from our conversations here, there was a note historically that we remember when we did visit each other's churches Sunday evenings, or when there was special services at other churches, that it was a very common thing for members from one church to often go to services at another church. And so now we don't have that same. We're busy in a different way in our culture and society. And so now we almost have to initiate and structure new ways of initiating those relationships. Some ways that churches are trying to doing that is, for example, having Ash Wednesday services jointly, or a Easter sunrise service, so sharing some kind of services or programs together in that way. And certainly some of the structured kind of service organizations, such as MDS, and MCC Resource Center, and Care and Share, are ones that bring people from many different churches to serve and work together. But then there needs to be the initiative in specific ways for either members or families or congregations to join together as well. We talked about fringe churches. You hear that word sometimes, and what does that mean? Does it mean just geographically at some distance, or is there some way that when persons use that word that they feel not included or not accepted or valued in a full way in the conference? And so these kind of interrelationships and learning to know one another is very crucial for experiencing and affirming one another as being part of the conference. And it was noted, if we go back to the New Testament, and whether one was in Ephesus or Corinth, and some distance from what they might have called the home church in Jerusalem, there was still a strong commitment and relationship that was important among all the churches there. And so we were saying that every church here, as part of the conference, needs to be view themselves as a conference congregation. One of the helpful phrases was in the relationship between, say, a larger congregation and a smaller congregation, there can be the tendency for the larger congregation to think that we're coming to offer something, to give something. And rather than thinking of some churches as have churches and other churches not having churches, we're needing to view every congregation as a having church, that we can learn from each other, we can be blessed by each other in those relationships equally. I think emphasizing again that the way in which the more we form relationships, the more we form connectedness with each other, the more we have a foundation for really sharing around the scripture and around difficult subjects that may divide us, but when there's a relationship, when there's a commitment to fellowship, praying together, eating together, working together, there's a much better foundation for then encountering and working through the ways in which we may interpret or disagree about interpretations.
Hello, I'm Alan from Finland. I drew the short straw and had to take the notes. A couple things just off the top. We said that social media doesn't really work well in because there's so much reading between the lines, you don't get to know each other. You see the words, and the words are bland, and you, they're rife for misinterpretation. For the difficult questions, you need to get to know each other face to face. We thought this random seating was really good and helpful, because you can tend to sit with somebody that's like-minded or you feel comfortable with, and to randomize it, it puts you in a different context than you would normally find yourself. And the bigger part of what we were talking about was this, a cluster group kind of a concept of having churches get together and maybe having that even done in a randomized kind of a way that pulls churches together. And just like when you sit down with somebody you're familiar with, you sit down with somebody that you're comfortable with and you don't get that broader discussion. And so to randomize the groups and not just have maybe two, but maybe three or four or five different churches or conference-related ministries incorporated, to have groups get together and have the discussions to incorporate lay people, not just the leadership. You get a skewed view of, some of the pastors, or you're sitting in your offices, you're thinking about this all the time. You form a view of the way things are or should be. We're table number three, I'm sorry. The laity involvement is important. We talked about, having the delegate maybe be a point person, and you have a friend of the delegate that comes with these meetings, and so you broaden the input through the laity in the congregation. We talked about the need for a facilitator at this kind of get-togethers to kind of give some structure. To be able to talk about things that need to be opened up in ways that are, listening kinds of conversations. We talked a little bit about, is this replacing conferring? And we kind of said, no, we don't think it's really replacing conferring, but it's laying the groundwork. Back to the social media, you see the words on Facebook, you don't get the emotion, you don't get the what it means to be interconnected, and the face-to-face, it builds the foundation to be able to have the conversation. You can dislike a person that you see on Facebook because they're saying things you don't agree with, but when you come face-to-face and you meet with the other person, it gives a reality, it gives a body, it gives a person behind the caricature that we paint. And so the importance of getting together and meeting, we thought was important.
I'm Wayne Nitschi from Percussie Mennonite Church, table group six. I think the thing that we most wanted to emphasize this morning was the need for leaders to get together. Understand the question to be also about how we can get people in the pews involved, but if it doesn't happen at the leadership level, it's probably not going to happen at the lay level. And we talked about ways that pastors, leaders can come together to talk about our own fears and anxieties, honestly. Finding mutual support for one another, learning to know each other, and perhaps things even like pastor-spouse retreat type things, some things that have been done in the past at leadership level, maybe that have seemed to run their course, and maybe it's time to revisit some of those kinds of things. I think in addition to that, we wonder how today will impact a lead minister's time and priorities. And we hope that maybe that lead ministers, some of their time can be put into this focus of bringing leaders together in ways that currently are not happening. Talked about the need for congregations to get out of our little silos, my farming background there. One of the ways I think that we all understand that congregations have come together across a wide diversity is through things like Mennonite Disaster Service or Mennonite Central Committee, and perhaps to explore what are the practices that aren't get us out of our heads and maybe get our hands and our hearts engaged. We talked about pulpit exchanges, that we've done that, and those kinds of things that often have great meaning to us. In small churches like I pastor, sometimes we can just shut down on Sunday morning and go somewhere else. We've done that with Whitehall and various places. Or maybe when larger congregations, a small group within the church say, well, okay, we're going to go visit Salford today, and a delegation go to Salford, whatever the congregation might be. We also realize the importance of ecumenical relationships that we have and want to continue to enhance and find ways to also keep energy there, and how we work with even leaders in our congregations to free up the pastors to build those relationships at a conference level as well as ecumenically in our communities.
I'm Mary Nitschke from Table 9. We spent most of our time sharing about what we and our congregations are doing in our communities and our mission, and we're very congregational that way, although there are some overlaps. A number of us have shared stories about Ripple coming to our churches to share, or our churches going up to Ripple to share a meal, serve a meal. And then for the rest of our time, we spent praying for each other's ministries. And that was really important, to pray for one another, even in our differences. I think that's it. I'm the short-winded one in our household.
It seems that that table has already started to work at this. My sister talked about praying together, so for each other's ministries, that's another way of getting to know what's happening in the heart of your brothers and sisters. Okay, what do we got? Seven? Is that seven? Oh, I'm sorry. Josh, how are you?
Yes, so my name is Josh Meyer from Franconia Mennonite Church in Table 10. We talked about a few ideas. I'll mention two briefly and one a little bit longer. The one idea we mentioned was just the idea of praying for one another's churches, as my sister just said. We talked about the idea of possibly on a Sunday morning, maybe every Sunday morning, having a time during the worship service where, you know what, this Sunday we're going to pray for Salford Church. And so on Wednesday I'd call up Joe and say, Joe, how can our church be praying for you? We put those up on a slide and pray for that church that Sunday. The next week, I'd call up Bally Mennonite Church and say, hey, how can we pray for Bally this week? One, just as a way to have the leaders connect each week, but then also just to help our people understand the awareness that it's not just us, there are these other churches out there, and here are ways we can be praying with and walking alongside our sisters and brothers. Another idea was we talked about the possibility of having a Sunday morning where none of our churches meet in our buildings, and instead we come together for one joint giant service together. At Villanova or someplace that could hold all of us. We mentioned that there's real power when the youth get together and do that, and why couldn't that be something we do as an entire conference-wide event? But the idea that I think we were probably most excited about was we were reminded at SLT, for those who were there, one of the comments that was made that stuck with us was someone said, do you know why our problems are so serious? Because we take them so seriously. And that it's often the emotion surrounding the issues and not the content of the issues themselves that elevates these issues to be really, really difficult. And so we were struck with, well, are we taking seriously the issues that we ought to be taking seriously? And we were reminded of Matthew 23, where Jesus says, woe to you teachers of the law, you Pharisees and hypocrites, or you Pharisees and scribes, you hypocrites. You tithe the tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you neglect the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. And so we are just thinking, well, what are those more important matters? And how can we as churches and as a conference be committed to the more important matters of justice and mercy and faithfulness? And just sort of recognizing there is a limited amount of time, energy, and effort that we all have. And so is there some issue that we could come and work together around that we think would really be one of those more important matters? And just in our group, we came up with this idea of human trafficking. You know, there's a lot of talk about human sexuality in the conference and denomination right now, and lots of disagreement on that. But when I talk about an issue of human sexuality where there's not a lot of disagreement, it's that little girls should not be bought, sold, raped, and abused. And so we said, what would it look like if Franconia Conference was known for that? What if human trafficking was going to be our priority? That we said, you know what? Churches are going to come together. We're going to work at this issue in real, tangible, practical ways. We're going to work with one another. And we recognize just, you know, in our table, there's a number of our churches who are already working at this issue separately. We're reminded that there are individuals in our conference, that there are individuals in our churches who have been trafficked. And so recognizing this is both a global issue and also a local issue. And so we had the idea, what if we made human trafficking a conference priority moving forward? Thanks.
I'm Mary Beth Benner from Table 7. We had a few ideas of how our congregations could learn to know each other more. Possibly some of the CRMs could plan events that would help people to form relationships. The Material Resource Center is one place that people from our congregation come together and enjoy being together. We could create an event that would encourage homeschool families of the conference to get together. And as there's more and more climate change-related natural occurrences that sometimes there's people in need, perhaps we could plan as a conference, as there will probably be more of them, how can we respond to these things that when they take place. Spruce Lake is hosting a pastor and spouse free retreat sometime this month, and perhaps that could be done again to allow more time for pastors and spouses to be together. There are some churches that participate in a church softball league, but perhaps we could do more of that. And perhaps we could talk more about our common vision and our goals. And then we had an extended time of conversation at our table about what would it look like for the conference to talk about sexuality. And if we would do that, there's a feeling that this was already sort of pushed along in the calendar because there had been thought that that was what this meeting was going to be about. And if we continue to push that along, are we actually creating greater anxiety for some of the more conservative persons in our conference? And if we would talk, would it help to lessen that anxiety some? And could there be greater understanding? But it was a very good conversation at our table because I think there was questions raised from some of there's some congregations that really want to be talking about this, and maybe it'd be better if they're talking within their congregation. There's others that don't feel much of a need to talk about this. And what would it do to our conference if we would talk about this further? Would it change us? Would it change our polity? So it was a fruitful conversation.
Trick Boyd from table number 4. We started by talking by a couple of barriers that we just wanted to name and needed to acknowledge. And the first is that culture and language is sometimes a barrier, and that we have to figure out ways to work across culture and when there are language differences. Sort of in contrast to what our fearless leader said, sometimes geography does matter. And because in in certain geographical areas. For instance, I'm from Philadelphia. There are common concerns that we have that we actually share with other Mennonite churches, some of whom are part of Franconia, many of whom who are not, but we have these common concerns. And so just to recognize, and not just urban, suburban, but people talked about above and below the ridge. I didn't know what that was until today. East and west of the Perkiomen Creek, there are all sorts of, I guess, geographical issues. And just to recognize that those are real and those do affect the way we think. As has already been said, there was some interest in the cluster idea, particularly amongst pastors, but also wanting to figure out ways to move beyond just the leadership. Some of our members had positive experiences in the past with clusters. Some ideas we talked about, sharing community gardens with churches who are relatively close to one another, or churches who may not have access to fresh produce, being able to take advantage of fresh produce grown on community gardens of other churches. We also talked about the tension between do we come together around issues, or do we come together around relationships and then talk about issues? The problem is if we come around issues of common concern, we're probably talking to people that we'd be talking to anyway, you know, people who share our opinions. And so we kind of went back to, yeah, it is important to develop relationships so we have the potential to have people around the table who, on a particular issue, whether it's homosexuality or gun violence or even, you know, some other issues, that we have a representation around the table that is diverse, but we need to develop that trust. But in that, we recognize a couple of things. One is that in order to be in these kind of diversity conversations, you have to be willing to put yourself in an uncomfortable place. We all want it to be comfortable and safe. It can be safe and still be very uncomfortable. And I don't think we can deal with diversity unless we come to grips with the fact that we have to get out of our comfort zones, whatever those zones are. There's also a tension between our history and wanting to maintain our history and tradition of Mennonites, and on the one hand, and on the other hand, continue to live into that tradition, which is a tradition that was always breaking barriers and always pushing the culture in ways that the culture didn't want to go. And someone already mentioned peace. That certainly is something that's countercultural in this time. But there are other ways in which we need to continue to evolve and grow that is part of our tradition. So how do we live in that tension between honoring the tradition and actually living in the tradition? And then finally, we felt that a key question in this whole area of diverse conversations around diversity is the question, how do we live out our faith in this particular context and time and in our community? Realizing that, in a sense, we have to reinvent our faith in each age, in each generation, to be relevant to the time in which we live.
I'm John Gasho from Table 2, and I live above the ridge. So. Somebody else lives above the ridge. Our group enjoyed the conversation together and felt that perhaps this is almost a laboratory for what we'd like to see happen, where we have the opportunity from time to time to sit down with folks that we don't normally connect with and have conversation. And so we would affirm that. As we talked, I think we kind of agreed that, you know, a lot of good things are happening in all of our congregations that we don't know about. And it might be a good thing just to sort of affirm that and celebrate those good things, at the same time perhaps trying to find new ways of connecting with one another. Since a couple of us are from Blooming Glen, we remember that Tom Albright came down to speak at Blooming Glen from Ripple on, I think it was Thanksgiving evening, the evening before Thanksgiving. And he expressed the way he was blessed by our service. And then about 20 of us went up to serve a Christmas meal at Ripple, and we're still talking about how we were blessed by that experience. So the opportunity to kind of connect with one another's congregation is there, but it does take some effort. And there's blessings there if we choose to seek it out, is what I think we're saying. We like the idea of cluster groups, perhaps starting up again, and hope that continues. And we'd like that it not be cluster groups that are based on similarities of congregations. So in other words, we hope that small groups, small congregations, and larger congregations, and urban and rural or suburban congregations can get together in cluster kind of experiences, so that we don't just sort of have groups that have the same experiences but have different experiences. One really interesting thought was that perhaps Franconia congregation could invite another congregation to come here for a worship service some Sunday morning, and then some other Sunday morning, Franconia congregation could go to another congregation to worship, or just finding ways of kind of worshiping together. So I don't think I was quite as short as Mary, and probably won't get a kiss for it, but I'm done.
I'm Brent Camilleri, representing Table 5. We talked a lot about affirming the need to build relationships and to do cluster groups. We named maybe a couple different ways to do that, whether it's geographically or connecting in other ways, but recognizing the importance of connecting with people not just that are in our comfort zones, but also congregations that are different from our own, and also recognizing the importance of moving that beyond simply connecting as leaders to connecting as congregations as a whole. We also talked about the focus on relationship not simply being about just relationship or not just being about some common tasks that we do, but really centered around call. We talked a lot about call at our table and what that means to be not just focused on doing something, but to be called together in our own congregation and among congregations to work at something greater. And with the hope that this call is what we'll have in common, and we're not just focusing on our own needs or our own need to be right, but instead we are centered and focused on something more important than ourselves. We also talked about sharing our strengths with one another in congregations, but also sharing our needs and being open about the give and the take that happens, and other groups have mentioned that too, with the hope that the more we're able to talk about our own needs as a congregation, the more open we are to working with each other to say, oh, hey, you know, we might have this that we're good at as a church, but you guys have this, and we need there to be a mutuality of a give and a take. And focusing on both our strengths and our needs, I think, will help us to connect in more meaningful ways. So to be open to that kind of both giving and receiving, and then to be open to sharing those stories, both within our congregation and then in the broader community, talking about the ways that we work together and the reasons why and the blessings that come out of that. We named a couple kind of concrete or semi-concrete ways maybe that we can work at this, recognizing that maybe putting a list together of what churches are working at and partnerships that we might be looking for that could be online or distributed to different churches. Obviously, lead ministers can help to maintain that kind of communication between congregations. Also, maybe listing stuff on the webpage about needs and asking for needs, or posting, hey, we could help out in this way. And also placing ads and things like the intersections about that too. Jennifer also wrote, kind of as an aside, something about maybe doing a conference-wide guess who's coming to dinner event where we could rotate, do appetizers at one church and then the main course at another church and dessert at the third. So you just never know who you're going to meet and the conversation that might take place, which I thought would be progressive dinner. That's cool. But I like the guess who's coming to dinner. So, yeah, that's what we talk about.
Mike Durstein from table 8. Well, we started with a question, how did Tassville and New Beginnings get together? It'd be interesting to hear more about that story. We suspect it happened through some connection. Maybe the conference was instrumental in that. Great. Yeah, I mean, it'd be something that, all congregations can do, and sit together at conference assembly and out of that develop relationships. We spent time reflecting what, how do congregations connect now beyond themselves? The conference-related ministries bring people together, the retirement homes with their festivals and barbecues bring people together, the Mennonite historians bring folks together to play croquet and bus trips and some other things. We also talked about some of our congregations get together for hymn sings periodically. Mennonite Disaster Service was another illustration of the way in which members from various churches come together for a common cause and mission, and that becomes very productive and helpful and fruitful. A couple of things, a couple of ideas for what can happen. One, we hearken back to an older model of training, Keystone Bible Institute. Some of you remember that, a week-long kind of intensive where lay leaders and Sunday school teachers would get together for a week, and some of the best scholars from within the church would be on hand. It'd be like a school for leadership training that the seminaries do in their own residence, but it would be hosted here within the conference community, and would be a time to be equipped and trained for ministry and for the various ways of serving. Another suggestion was that we just need to have some more fun together. We get together and it's a little too serious, a little bit what Josh Meyer was saying, that maybe we need some weekend kind of retreat for the whole conference to get together, and just like congregations take a weekend for retreat and play volleyball and tell stories and sit around building relationships, getting acquainted. Reminded that Virginia Conference does that. I believe at Highland Retreat every year, their conference gets together for a good time as well as some serious times. The final idea was suggested that maybe with the 300th anniversary of the settlement in this area might be an opportunity to bring congregations together around a kind of historic anniversary. And it was mentioned that Tolmensen congregation is already planning their 300th anniversary as a congregation this year, and it might be something the whole community might think about as well.
Okay, thank you. We want to just do something a little different. Steve's going to introduce it in more detail, but you know, we heard a couple conversations about the human trafficking, the issue with that. So what we want to do today, in terms of beginning this, building relationships around a common area of mission and call, is to just quickly find out which congregations or which folk are interested in a call to that ministry and work, and just make note of it, and then work at a way to facilitate and get them together so they can begin talking. I'm sure there may be one or two other things that might come out, but we felt like it was happening, and so we wanted to just let it be organic and get it started now. So, Steve, I don't know if you want to add more to that or not.
The hotel just asked me to tag team in listening, and one of the things that I was thinking about as we were listening is the concept of white space groups. And I don't know if you've heard sort of open source meeting concept, which means that if there are those of you who are today interested in a particular thing, we actually try to gather you so you can work on that thing today. There's no reason to leave here waiting for Jennifer or Samantha or Ertel or Gay or Carla or Conrad or Noel or I to begin. You could actually begin today if there's things that you want to work on. So one of the things just I threw out because it's a safe test was maybe there are those of you who want to work on human trafficking. There's no reason you need to leave the room today wondering who else that is. So if there are those of you who want to do that today, we want to know who you are so you can know who each other are. If there are other things that you feel compelled about, we can try to help facilitate those conversations and gatherings as well. This is generative. That's one of the words that we've been talking about. How do we have generative conversation? How do we move just from listening to also acting? So this is just trying to figure out how we can be and do and act together.
So what we're going to do is, because we want to make sure we stay with the time, is we want to just ask you to raise your hand very quickly if you're interested and say where you're from, and we can just jot it, and then we'll go from there. So, how many people are interested in having a conversation at some point about human trafficking? Where are you from? Finland? Franconia?
Deep Run East.
Salem?
Ripple.
Blooming Glen.
Salford.
Salford.
Ambler.
Do I get a Bally? Bally going once. Lying Lexington. Okay. So we want to make sure we've got everyone listening. What we will do, you folks can certainly feel free to, I think, stay for a bit. I'm not sure in terms of what our arrangements are with our host, but you can stay, have the conversation, or we can work at, from the conference side, working on something to get you folks together. So we got Ripple, Amber, Blooming Glen, Valley, South, Deep Run, South, and Lexington, Finland, Franconia. Did we miss anyone? Okay. We are going to be taking your ideas and looking at them in a way that will help us to begin to have further conversation about being able to implement some things. We will be, as lead ministers, taking the responsibility to get this moving. So. We appreciate what you are sharing with us, and this is not just something that is, an exercise in futility. We will be working at truly beginning to create opportunities for you to gather together. We don't expect it to take months to happen. It is something that will be worked at very quickly, because it is part of our plan, for this year. So be on the lookout for next word. Want to ask you to take a few minutes for some reflection about what you believe you put into the meeting, what you got out of it, and we'll then have quick popcorn feedback. So we want to keep that piece moving, and we're just going to cut it back just a little bit. Take some time. Instead of 10 minutes, take five, and talk about what participants, what you put into the meeting, talk about what you got out of it, and then we'll go from there and have a couple of public service announcements, and then John will take us out. So 5 minutes, ready, get set, roll. Okay, popcorn, here we go. So, what'd you put into the meeting? Just quickly, one word, two words, not a dissertation. Just what?
What else? What'd you put into the meeting? What did you get out? Oh, what did you get out of the meeting? I can't, if someone's talking, I can't hear you.
Support for conference-wide worship service. Unified service.
Okay, support. Okay, what else did you get out of the meeting? What'd you put into it? What do you think you put into the meeting?
To get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Okay. What else? Did you put into or got out of the meeting? Yes, yeah, so what else? Got to know what other people are thinking, right? That's what I'll say from my part. Got to know what other people are thinking.
Just thinking back on ideas. Who carries through all the ideas? Okay. Are we putting it on the shoulders of pastors to bring each other up? Are we putting it on lead ministers?
That's a question, correct? Okay. You want an answer now, or you just want us to write it down? All right, we'll write it down. We did touch on that, but we'll keep it moving. All right, what else? What else did you bring in? What did you get out of the meeting?
I think two things you got out of one was that time can settle things if you give time. It lessens the anxiety for some, but when you take more time, it raises the anxiety for others.
Okay. All right, what else? Willingness to be constructive.
We went to heaven. Fortunate that if I were a house, you texted it back and we'd be back to fortune.
Say again. Say it again. Okay, we need to go to Home Depot. Our brother said we went from having porches in front of our houses where we could see people to having decks behind our homes where we're more private. Now we need to go back to having porches in front of our houses so we can see folk, symbolic of, we need to go to Home Depot. Oh, that our culture's changing, yes. Okay. What else? Quickly, anything else? Okay, we are just so appreciative of what you've brought to this time together, and again, it is important that you know we're doing this together. And so, just before John comes up, let me just say that to answer our sister's question, the lead ministers will be following up with you in your congregations for putting some rubber to the road on this. But thank you for your time. And this has been, for me, it's been very helpful. And so I can't wait until the next chapter. So we'll ask our moderator to come up and send us home.
Well, I just want to join the voices that have already thank you for coming out today. And express my appreciation to you too as well. On January 18th, I sent a letter out to all the delegates and credentialed folks here at Franconi Conference. You should have all received that. And at that time, I also forwarded Irvin Stutzman's letter calling the church to prayer. And so I just want to express my appreciation to you for taking that call seriously and ask that you continue to do so as we move forward. I think it's okay to announce that on April 11, Irvin Stutzman will be in our community. 10 and 11. 10 and 11, okay.
Thursday night and Friday morning.
Thursday night and Friday morning. And we haven't planned out the event yet, or the events, but it will be a town meeting type of opportunity with Irvin. He's graciously agreed to be used in any way that we see fit for him to be used. So I think it looks like there's going to be a Thursday evening meeting and a Friday morning meeting. And if you're interested, okay, if you're interested in hosting, you mean a church hosting one of those meetings, talk to Gay about doing that, and then we'll get together and decide how to best handle that. Also, you should know that Irvin's also speaking on Friday evening at Deep Run East as part of the Mennonite Historians of Eastern Pennsylvania, and there he published a book, and he's going to be reading something from his book and talking about that. So should be an interesting thing. You might want to check on that one as well. And Ken Burkholder now is aware that that's happening at his church, if he wasn't before. So I our table can, you know, we continue. I just would like to acknowledge that there's, you know, this has been a really good experience, and sitting down and talking to one another is a good thing, and we all agree with that. I think we're enjoying one another's company this morning. And so by just virtue of as our experience here, I think we have demonstrate why we need to do more of this than we've done perhaps in the past. And so we want to keep working at that. But I think it's also important to acknowledge that there are issues such as interpretation of scripture and you know, the question of human sexuality that is on people's minds. And I know that some people wish that we would stop talking and make some decisions, but even acknowledging that there's two sides of this, just want to ask for patience, because we are wanting to find a way to talk about this along with Mennonite Church USA, which is also trying to find a way, and to do it in the right kind of way. So I actually ask for your patience and express my appreciation to you for giving that serious consideration. And in the process, remembering that this call for prayer does not need to end today. I think that our church needs the continued prayers of all of us as we face these kind of things in the right kind of way. And I certainly hope at the end we can remain in fellowship as we move forward together. That would be my prayer. So with that, then I'd like to pray, but first, and then Mike, okay. So let's have a prayer, and then Mike will end our time together with some music. God, we thank you for the way you have been present here today with us. We thank you for the privilege that we have of speaking with folks that we don't perhaps normally speak with, to hear ideas and concerns and vision, thinking and celebration and all of that. Now we ask that you continue to be with Franconia Conference, with the Franconia Conference Board, with all the credentialed folks in this room. Help us all to find a way of not only learning to live together, perhaps in a different way, while recognizing the busyness of our time, and how do we take time for you and for each other, and how do we continue to build our kingdom in a way that unites us all? We ask for your wisdom and your presence as we continue to struggle and to work at these important issues. So thank you, God, for being here today. Thank you for the folks that have come out. We ask that you be with us now as we go back to our congregations, back to our responsibilities, whether we be pastors or parents or lay leaders, whatever that job may be. We ask that you be there with us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Just very quickly, I want to share with you very quickly a African proverb I heard at a meeting in Leesburg, Virginia, that says, "He who travels alone travels fast. He who travels with others travels far." So let's keep that in mind as we travel together. Not just he, but he and she who travel together travel. You know what I'm saying, so let's just keep together.
And to that end, shall we stand together? If you believe and I believe, then we together